Today's celebration of the baptism of the Lord concludes our Christmas season, and so we'll be jumping into ordinary time this week. So this day, this celebration sort of signifies also that Jesus is stepping towards his public ministry. And we might ask the question, what is the church asking us to focus on today at this celebration? Well, theologically, the baptism of the Lord is very much tied to the establishment of the sacrament of baptism that we receive. Although Jesus had no need of baptism, right, because he was not born in original sin, he had no actual sin, he undergoes baptism as a sign of his sonship and as a model for us of how we are to receive entry into the family of God. Some early Christians talk about Jesus' baptism as sanctifying the waters for us, for our baptism. We basically see that Jesus is giving us this sign and also this reality of baptism for our sake. When we are baptized, God the Father looks on us like he looks on Jesus today in the gospel, and he says, "You are my beloved son or daughter. With you, I am well pleased." There's a term not often used these days, filiation. Have you heard that word? I don't know. It means son or daughter. As Christians, by our baptism, we receive a special relationship with God. We move from being a creature of God to becoming a member of the family of God. In a similar way that marriage connects people who are not related, baptism brings about a covenantal relationship. A covenant is not a contract, of course, it's a sharing of our person. So to be in a covenant with God means that we give ourselves to him, and we also receive him for ourselves. A covenant is an intimate bond, one that can't be broken, but that can be violated or abused. We believe an indelible mark is placed upon our souls in baptism. This is a sacred seal, a seal that is on our very souls, and it marks us as belonging to Christ. We might compare it to a brand or a tattoo if we were being a little visual. We don't like that idea, but that's kind of what it is. It's invisible to the eye, but the angels and the demons can certainly see it. It's present to them, and they can see it on our souls. It says who we belong to. There's another related concept to filiation. When we are a son or a daughter of God, we are given access to the inheritance of God's family. We have access to the means of our sanctification. In other words, the sacraments, the life of prayer and worship, the formation we can receive at the hands of the church, which is the body of Christ. So being a son or a daughter doesn't automatically mean that we act like one, or that we accept the family traditions or heirlooms or inheritance. It merely means that we have access to these things. The life we live from now until death is a time when we are invited to receive these gifts and to be sanctified, which just means to become holy or set apart for God. These are fancy words to mean we are becoming members of the family of God, and not just receiving baptism, but also by our free choice, how we live our lives, how we become actually that son and daughter, how we live that out. Baptism is the first step in this process of, another fancy word, divinization. Oh, Father, stop giving us a vocabulary lesson. I'm sorry. But we have to share these terms so we understand what the reality that we're talking about and how it helps us to believe what we're actually doing is important. If we don't talk about it, we can easily forget that there is this realm of our existence, the spiritual life, that we might be kind of blissfully unaware of, but it's real. The spiritual reality and state of our soul is ultimately even more important than even our physical well-being. This is hard for us to believe or remember when we pay so little attention to it. So back to divinization. Divinization is the reality that we can share in God's nature. We don't become God in the same way that the members of the Blessed Trinity are, and they share in the divine nature, nor are we absorbed into the Trinity, and we aren't adding anything to God's nature, but divinization or deification or theosis, these are all just fancy words that all talk about how we share and become like God. This allows us to live the life of heaven. It allows us to take up residence permanently in the family of God and in His eternal kingdom. It's kind of an astounding invitation, isn't it, if you think about it? What we're being invited into when we're baptized, when we share this life of God. One we often gloss over, perhaps, or don't think much about. We are not slaves, we are not servants, we're sons and daughters of God. Jesus calls you friends. The process of divinization takes place over the course of our lives. The more we cooperate with God's invitations, the more we become like Him and united to the Lord. This process may continue, if need be, in purgatory, although there it's more of a removal of the obstacles that keep us from clinging to Christ or perfectly belonging to Him. You might think of a Velcro strap. You ever wear those Velcro shoes? They're great. When I was a kid, I had many pairs. When it's new, it sticks really well, right? But then as it ages, you get lint in there and dirt, and pretty soon it's not sticking so great, and it loses its grippiness, its effectiveness. When we're baptized, or even when we go to confession and make a good confession, our souls are purified and they're open to God's grace. So we're like that new Velcro. But through sin and human weakness and concupiscence, we can lose this grip on our relationship with God. So divinization is the process where we engage in this growing of the spiritual life. The whole realm of the spiritual life is how we come to seek this closer union with God. There's nothing more worth our time in this life than to engage in this growth in the spiritual life, the spiritual union with God. But there is also the reality that all our efforts and all our energy in that realm can seem a little unproductive in a worldly sense, doesn't it? You know, going for a holy hour, prayer, going to Mass, receiving the sacraments can sometimes seem a little bit unworldly or unhelpful. And so there's that sense, that tension that we live in, and each person has to deal with that tension. Do I invest in the spiritual journey, the riches that I cannot see, and which sometimes seem unimportant? Or do I invest in the things and pursuing physical and worldly riches and goals which are very tangible to me, readily usable and applicable in my life? These worldly goods are of little heavenly value, but we can understand why someone might be persuaded to fill their time seeking them out in this life. So for us, the spiritual life, the conversion to Christ, these are critical to our salvation. This is what St. John is talking about in today's second reading, when he says, "In this way we know that we will love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome, for whoever is begotten by God conquers the world." To be begotten by God, or to be baptized and divinized, it may seem burdensome in a worldly sense to live this way, but when one considers the inestimable gain that we get, the great gain that we get, we cannot compare the small price of our cooperation in this life to pay the small debt that we offer to God to attain this union with Him. So this idea of union with God is also echoed in the Old Testament, though the language we use now is a little different, perhaps, or more advanced in our reality of understanding what divinization is. Isaiah uses similar terms and a similar concept as he speaks to us today. It gets at the same idea. All of you are thirsty. All you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without pain and without cost, drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what fails to satisfy? Isn't that something that we can think about and ponder about and say, you're right, I should do that, I really should. Hopefully that's our conclusion, right? As we live our lives, we can continue to meditate on that reality of, where am I investing? What's the long-term goal in my existence? So today, as we celebrate the baptism of the Lord, it's also a call for us to accept this invitation of the Lord to live our own baptismal calling and commit ourselves to the process of sanctification and divinization. This is our ultimate purpose, and we should never forget no matter what is happening around us in the world, to stay focused on this goal of being united to God. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within your wounds, hide me. Permit me not to be, never permit me to be separated from you. From the wicked foe, defend me. At the hour of my death, call me and bid me come to you, that with your saints I may praise you forever and ever. Amen.